All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nida's daf Mem Tes. We're back on Nun Ches. Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Okay, finishing up the perek today, starting the sixth perek of Besechta Nida. What was our discussion towards the end of the fifth perek? Ages, developmental ages for a girl where she makes halachic milestones. If you remember, the talked about it took us all the way from birth, took us to 3 years of age, which is Rui Levia, took us to the age of 11 and 12, right, Onas Nadarim, and then now we're at, we're trying to figure out when is she going to become an adult. So we already know the answer. The answer to, for your standard girl, to become an adult is at 12 years of age, and she has Shtei Saros. So the physical maturation sign. So then she becomes an adult, a full-fledged adult. She is now a gedola. Again, as we went over the past couple of days, for the next little bit, we'll call it 6 months. That's what Shmuel taught us. She's still under the jurisdiction of her father. She's an adult who is still her father has rights to her, but nevertheless, so she turns into an adult. You remember the Mishnah yesterday. Describe for us simonim, various characteristic signs of a developing girl into a woman that lets us know whether she went from being a ketana to a nara, from nara to a bogeres. The Mishnah made a mashal, gave us some sort of way to understand it by comparing a woman to a fig and a developing fig. The fig goes through three developmental stages. The woman goes through three developmental stages. That's what we did yesterday. The next mission, which we already started yesterday and has gone through, is the following. What if the woman, or for that matter the man, starts getting older, but doesn't have physical maturation signs? So for the girl, that means that she doesn't have two pubic hairs. For the boy, it means the same thing, meaning that he's growing up and he doesn't have two pubic hairs. So at what point exactly does he or she turn into a gadola or gadola? When do they become an adult? So we learned in the Mishnah is that if at 20 years of age for a boy and for a girl, they can be proven that they are going to be in that state in perpetuity. So for example, by a girl, she's an islandess, and we know she's an islandess. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, as I'm going to repeat again today, our Mishnah and our Gemara does not actually go through what the actual characteristics of an islandess are. The Gemara in Yevamos does exactly that. Okay, so but if we can establish that she's an islandess by 20 years of age, or if we can establish that he's a sris is a, we say eunuch, but we don't really mean eunuch. We just simply mean that he's not going to develop in his physical signs. He's going to be in the state of perpetuity because he's a sris, and I quoted Rashi yesterday. Rashi goes through some of the characteristics of a sris. He doesn't produce hair. He's... he has a fine textured skin. So if at 20 years of age, they could be established, she could be established as an islandess, and he could be established as a sris. So at that point, we say now that they're an adult, and we treat them like an adult accordingly. What if we can't, meaning what if we just simply have no, they're not developing physical signs, but we can't label them as either a sris or an islandess, then what? So the Mishnah doesn't say. So the last point we learned yesterday in the Gemara is when they get to half of their life, at that point we can now say that they're an adult. So it's bizarre, as we can possibly imagine. You have a 30-year-old man who doesn't have his physical maturation, but also cannot be identified as a sris. So as a 30-year-old man, he's not a man yet. He's not an adult yet. He's treated halachically as a katan, and he will do so until he hits his 35th year.
He doesn't have to put
tefillin. Yeah, I mean, so what you're saying makes sense. It's strange. And until he's 35. 35 is halfway of a person's life. Don't take me too seriously on this, but the pasuk in Tehillim says that Achiv Mishana, that most people live until 70 years of life. So the pasuk in Tehillim gives us age expectancy. In Begvura Shmanim Shana, if you're strong, you're going to make it till 80. And I think the numbers have nowadays are slightly higher. So in terms of average life expectancy, but still, the point is that once you hit 35, so now at that point in time, you're going to be, you move to the state of being a gadol. Okay, that's what we got to yesterday. If you want to find us in the Gemara on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, we're about That's about 20 lines from the bottom of the page. Tani Rabbi Chiya. About 5 lines after the Gemara began. We continue from where we left off yesterday. Tani Rabbi Chiya Ad Rov Shnosav. I think I read that yesterday. Anyway. Yeah. Ad Rov Shnosav until it gets to halfway of his life. He also comes to Rabbi Chiya. So, Ikachish Amrlu Ivrai Ibari Amrlu Akhushe. So let's say people went to Rabbi Chiya. Now, question of who exactly it was. It's Rabbi Chiya or it's Rava. Either way, it doesn't matter. In other words, but he had, let's say, a young man come to him and he said, or a young woman and say, look, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not developing my simanim. So what he would recommend, medical advice, halachic advice, a little bit of everything. He said if they were very emaciated, they said gain some weight. Or conversely, if they were very overweight, they said time to lose some weight. And with that weight change, along came the physical maturity. So Amrlahu Achushuhu Dani Simanim Zimnan Dasu Machmas Kechushasa Zimnan Dasa Machmas Birosa. And he said exactly that. Sometimes the Simanim are not coming because he's either overweight or underweight. So if he changes his fluctuation of weight, so then this Simanim will in fact come. Amarav. Okay? So far so good. And we're finishing up the parak. But let's now make the following observation, and to this we're going to understand Rav's halacha. Did you notice? Throughout this entire parak, this parak began going all the way back. Wow, it's a long parak. This parak began all the way back on Daf Mem, top of Daf Mem, and we started with, at what point in time, a woman gives off Tumas Nida, and a man gives off Baal Keri. But from that point forward, meaning if you follow the Mishnayos, I'll give you an example. Okay, the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Bey says Tinokas Bas Yom Echad. Okay, that doesn't give us a lot to work with. That's a 1 day old. Okay, so that's not such a great example. Here we go. Mem Dal Amud Bey. Okay, Bas Shalosh Shanim Yom Echad. 3 years in a day. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next Mishnah, Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad. We're talking about a boy. 9 years in a day. Okay, I move on. We are on Mem Hei Amud Beis. Bas Achad Esrei Shana V'Yom Echad. 11 years in a day. Okay, and that's it. And that takes us to right where we are. And then the Mashal Chachamim. And then our Mishnah, Bas Esrim Shana. So did you notice that every other time that we gave an age marker in the Mishnayos, we said 3 years in a day, 9 years in a day, 11 years in a day, 12 years in a day, but then when we got to 20 years of age, the Mishnah just simply says 20 years old. All right? And it doesn't say 20 years in a day. Now, what's the difference? So when I say 3 years in a day, I meant that you actually were on this earth for 3 complete years. Right? In other words, this is a little bit confusing, and that's what's going to lead to the machlokas and the Gemara upcoming in just a moment, is that when the Torah says, you need a three-year-old, does that mean you need somebody who is in their third year, or does that mean you need somebody who completed 3 years? Okay, it's ambiguous. So in the Mishnayos, the Mishnayos do not want to be ambiguous, they want to be clear. So when they say that you got to be, right, for a girl to be a bas biya, to be ru'uya labiya, so she has to have gone through 3 years. So that's why the Mishnah makes it extraordinarily clear, has to be Gimel Shanim V'Yom Echad. That Gimel Shanim V'Yom Echad tells us it's got to be that they cleared 3 years. Right? Same thing is true regarding a boy. A boy cannot be just in his ninth year. He's got to complete 9 years, right? When we celebrate birthdays here in this country, so we say, he's a one-year-old. In our parlance, in our lingua franca, what we mean is that they cleared a year, right? So the Mishnahs are extraordinarily clear. But then when we get to the 20-year-old, our Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't say, Bas Esrim Shana V'Yom Echad. Our Mishnah says, Bas Esrim. So you know what is a very legitimate way to explain our Mishnah? It means that they're entered into their 20th year, meaning they just turned 19, right? So that's exactly what Rav says. So let's see this inside. Amar Rav. Hilchusa Bekule Pirka Me'es La'es. Rav says, sorry, that's not exactly what Rav says. Rav says that you can include our Mishnah in that as well. Rav says that in our entire parak of Yotzei Dofen, which we're completing right now, it's always going to be Meis Leis, meaning it's always going to be, you have to clear those number of years. The 3-year-old means that you went through 3 years. The 9-year-old means that you went through 9 years. And the 20-year-old of our Mishnah means that you went through 20 years. The Ula Amar did not Tanan, Nudalo Tanan, Lo Tanan. And Ula disagrees, and Ula says no. The Mishnah says, say, Bashal Shanem Biyam Echad. Good. That means that you clear 3 years. Our Mishnah, you didn't clear 20 years. You made it to 20. Again, not the way we say it. Meaning you made it to your 20th year, i.e., you just completed your 19th birthday. Now, Bisham Alula, Haina Diktani Acha Yom Echa Vachaloktani. Now, the Gemara points out, you know, it's very good for Ula. Because when you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll notice that every other Mishnah says Yom Echad, and our Mishnah does not say Yom Echad. So it's very good. El Rav listening. So why, according to Rav, why does our Mishnah say Esrim Shana V'Yom Echad? Okay, that's the Gemara's first question, which in of itself is an excellent question. V'otini Rav Yosi Ben Kippur Amar Mishum Rebbe Lazar Shnas Esrim Shiyatsumi Menu Shloshim Yom Arei Kishana Kishnas Esrim L'Chol Dvarah. And not only that, but I'm going to show you a brisa, and the brisa says that when it comes to 20, you don't have to go through 20 years of your life. As long as you entered into the 20th year, now, it can't be the day after your 19th birthday. You gotta make it 30 days after 19, a month into your 20th year, but now, halachically speaking, you're a 20-year-old. The chenor Rebbe Balud. So Bishlam Adrebi Udrebi Yosemin Kifar Lokasha Hakabe Shamay Kabezilla. Now look, as far as the discrepancy between 20 verses 18, that doesn't bother us at all, because if you remember the Mishnah from back yesterday, there was a machlokes between Beisham and Beisilo. At what point exactly are you a adult? 20 or 18? Okay. Again, we're talking about the person who does not demonstrate the physical signs of maturation. Okay, so, and they also can be labeled as a Swiss or an Islandist. Okay? So is it 20 or is it 18? But Alan Rav Kashya, so the Gemara says, but according to Rav, what are you going to do? Because Rav says it's not enough to just have entered into your 20th year. According to Rav, you have to have finished your 20th year, or as we say here in this country, you turn 20. So the Gemara says, Tanahi, Ditanya. So the Gemara says, it's Machlokas Tanahi. Because watch the following brisa. Shana amura bekachim, shana amura bebat yarechoma, shtei shanim shebesad shebesdei achuza, shei shanim shebeavet ivri, vechein shebebenu shebebas, kulam me'ez la'ez. There are many areas in halacha where there's a requirement of a full year, and it means me'ez la'ez. Now let's take each one of these step by step. The key line that we want to read about is the Vechein Shebebenu Shebebas. Let's save that for the end. Shana Amur B'Kachim Benala, now by Kachim. We know that various components require them to be 1 year of age, 2 years of age, 3 years of age. So it has to be a full Me'es Le'es. Amr Avada Bar Yaakov Amr Kra Keves Ben Shnaso. So we say, Keves Ben Shnaso, a sheep that is a Ben Shana. Shnaso Shalo. The shnaso means it's a possessive. It's full year. Meaning that you might have thought that once Rosh Hashanah comes around, oh, new year. New year, my animal that was born 4 months ago, it's a 1 year old now. Okay? That's not how it's going to work, but rather it's based on its particular birth date. V'lo shana shomin yin olam. Shana mor bebati arichom amin ala namakra tom shnas memkaro. Memkaro shalo v'lo shnas shel min yin olam. Also on the sale of a house in a walled city. We learned this back in Erechin. When you sell a house in a walled city, you have 1 full year to buy it back. If you do not buy it back within 1 full year, it then transfers over to the buyer forever. There is no return in Yovel. For any house in a walled city, when we say a full year, what do we mean? A full year from the time that it was actually sold. And again, it's not contingent on Rosh Hashanah. And again, it's based on basically the same type of drasha, mem karo. Shtei shadim shebestei achuz min alan. Selling land in Israel is not a sale, it's really a lease. We've talked about this many times. When you lease land in Israel, it's for a minimum of 2 years. And when we say 2 years, we don't mean Rosh Hashanah. We mean from the date of the sale. How do I know that I'm a krab? B'mismar shnei tzvuos yimachalach pamim sha'ata mocher. Shalosh tzvuos b'shtei shanim. Sometimes it could be that you have 3 crops in 2 years. The only way that you can have 3 crops in 2 years is if you're basing it on the date of the sale. So that means that it was sold, it was laden with crops, you harvested all those crops, then you went another year, you harvested, then you went another year, and you harvested. All that's only possible if we are calculating from this, from the date of the sale.
When they lease the land, they lease it based on the years after Yovel.
Right, they prorate.
Prorate.
Yeah.
So, but based the Yovel year comes with the Rosh Hashanah. So how do they, if they say that the time of sale is the time that
well,
got the year.
Yeah,
different calendars we are
going to. Right. Well, it's yeah, it is interesting because you're right. It's Yovel is a drop dead deadline, meaning it's not, there's no flexibility in Yovel, right? The beginning of Yovel. I guess it works out where if you're let's say you're selling it in the middle of a year.
Yeah, by Yovel year you may have this year.
Okay, I hear your point, but we're really talking about the minimum sale. And by a minimum sale, it can be not less than 2 years. And when we say 2 years, we mean 2 full and complete years from the date of sale. What about the 6 years of Eved Ivri? In other words, it's a drasha, right? And the simple pshat in the pasuk is he works for 6 years and the 7th year he goes free. But the way we're going to read it for the purposes of our drasha is sheishanim yavod uvashviis. 6 years he's going to work, and the 7th year as well. What does that mean? He's working the 7th year? Is he going free in the 7th year? Like, what's going on? So it's like what we've been saying. Meaning, because when we calculate the years are based on the date of sale. In this case, he sold himself. But or Beis Din could sell him. Right? Either way is a possibility for Eved Ivri. But since we're basing it on the date of sale, it's possible that you're now entering into the 7th calendaric year. But he's still working because he hasn't completed his 6 years, because the 6 years are factored from the date of sale. Okay, now, good. So we covered every one of these halachas where the year is determined not by the calendar, but meaning, yes, by the calendar, but not by the seasonal calendar, not by Rosh Hashanah, but by date of sale. Now, the last thing mentioned in this braisa is Shebebenu Shebebas, which is what we want to focus on. So, Lamai Hilchza, Amar Av Gidol, Amar Ravling, Yenerchen. So it's talking about Erchin, meaning that, remember by Erchin, we say, mi ben shishim shana v'mala. So when we say 60 years of age, so in terms of identifying and establishing, when you're an actual 60-year-old, so which way do you go? Are you in the lower bracket, or are you in the upper bracket? So that's what the Bryce is dealing with. Rav Yosef Amar Lepirkin Diotze Dolphin. And Rav Yosef says, no, this doesn't have to do with Erchin. It has to do with our very perek, the 5th perek of Masechta Nida. That's what the Braisa means when it says Shebeben and Shebebas. So Amarle Abaye Mi Plikta Amarle Lo. Hu Amarchad Avana Minachada. So is there necessarily a debate going on right now? No, not necessarily. Meaning I'm simply saying one thing, he's saying another thing, we're not contradicting. The two positions are not mutually exclusive. So the Gemara just simply wants to know, the one who says that it's specifically designated for Erchin, why doesn't he assign it to Yotzi Dolphin, to our parak, to Midanach? Ma'anach deksivin afhani namadeksivin. He looks simply at the common denominator. Meaning, look at all the other cases that were mentioned in the Braisa. The other cases mentioned in the Braisa are the animal being eligible for a carbon, the sale of a house in a walled city, the leasing of a land in Eretz Yisrael. All these things are things mentioned in the Torah. So when we say Shebeben and Shebebas, and it's ambiguous, it's not clear what it's talking about, so because we're looking at the common denominator, we're going to point to something which is mentioned in the Torah. Erchin is mentioned in the Torah. Ages of maturation, interestingly enough, is not mentioned in the Torah. Okay, it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai, meaning it's part of the tradition, but it's not mentioned in the Torah. So therefore, it's better to assign it to something which is mentioned in the Torah, which is Erchin. So v'idach, and what's the other position going to take? The other position that says that the Shebeben Shebebas is talking about our Mishnah of Nida, Yotzi Dolphin. Hi Shebeben Shebebas, Shebezach Shebenekeva Mibayalei. If in fact we're talking about Erechin, the better language that would have been used is Zachar Nekeva, because the language mentioned in the Torah by Erechin is Zachar Nekeva. So it would have been better stated of the Braisa to say Zachar Nekeva, not Ben Ubabas. Ben Ubabas is more talking about our discussion of maturation. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Elazar, Halacha Rav Yosi Ben Kifa, Sha'amra Mishum Rabbi Elazar. The halacha is like Rav Yosi Ben Kippur. So, to state now the conclusion of the Gemara, when do you become an adult? So again, so on a normal scenario where there is physical maturation signs and the boy develops Shei Sa'aros and the girl develops Shei Sa'aros, so the answer is very clear and it's unequivocal. For a boy, he's 13 years of age with the physical maturation signs. For a girl, 12 years of age with the physical maturation signs. And when we say 13, when we say 12, we mean when they complete the 13th year and when they complete the 12th year. And in this country, what that means, when you celebrate your 13th birthday and when you celebrate your 12th birthday. Good. Okay, that's clear. What if there is no physical maturation signs and now they're getting older? So if we can call the boy a sris, if he qualifies as being called a sris, and if we can call the girl an islandess, so then the age is going to be 20 years of age. But here, however, there's a debate in terms of whether or not you have to complete your 20th year. Rav says you do, but the Gemara here conclusively says that's not accurate. It is accurate, but that's not agreed upon. And that's not the halacha. The halacha is that as long as you enter into your 20th year, so then you're going to be considered now a gadol or a gadola. But again, that's only if they can be labeled as a boy, a sris, and a girl, an islandess. And if you can't label them as a sris or islandess, so then the years just keep going, and until they get to 35 years of age, then and only then are they considered to be a gadol and a gadola.
But what do you mean you cannot call them an
islandess? The only way you can call them an islandess is if they comply with the criteria of being an islandess. And the criteria is, for an islandess, the Gemara in Yevamos goes through all the criteria. Deep voice, other signs. Okay. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Azke, the Asik, the Egmar Lashmaita Mipume Damara. I'm going to be Zoche. I'm going to make Ali. I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to learn it straight out of the mouth of the master. Kisalik Ashkechela Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Zeira now makes Aliyah. Right? And by the way, that's the transformation from being Rav Zeira to Rabbi Zeira. Because once he goes up to Eretz Yisrael, so now he's eligible to get smicha. He does in fact get smicha, so then he becomes Rabbi Zeira. Because as we've gone over many times, when you're an Amora in Eretz Yisrael, you're now eligible to get real smicha. Right? Not what I have. I don't have the real thing. So, right, the real smicha means Misora from Rebbe to Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and coupled with the fact that you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha cannot be given outside of Eretz Yisrael. So he goes up to Eretz Yisrael. He goes to Rabbi Elazar. Amarle Amar Talachik Rabbi Yosef Ben Kifer. So he says to him, "Did you in fact say the halachas like Rabbi Yosef Ben Kifer?" And the response was Amarle Mistabra. Yeah, it's logical. I think so. And meaning, and why is it logical? Because all the other Mishnayos in our Mishnah and our Perek say Yom Echad, and then when you get to our Mishnah about 20-year-old, it doesn't say Ba'as Esrim Shana V'Yom Echad. So yeah, it makes sense. Kind of right. It sounds right. Okay, that, I don't know. I don't know if Rabbi Zeira, when he makes it all the way to Eretz Yisrael, meaning that's the slam dunk he was hoping for. Meaning, I thought, maybe, I'm just conjecturing over here, he was like hoping to hear like definitively, yes, that's the halacha. You know, the best thing he got was, Mistabra, yeah, it's logical. Okay. You know, the Rambam writes, Heli, I mentioned this before, the Rambam writes that even if there's a break in the chain in the Mesorah, so the smicha can be reinstituted. In other words, if the majority of the rabbinate who lives in Eretz Yisrael can agree, I know that's a strong qualification, can agree that they're going to bring back smicha, they're going to reintroduce smicha, so the Rambam says smicha can be reintroduced.
That's
the Rambam writes that. And of course, based on that, so Rav Yosef Cairo, together with a host of other very holy people, tried to reinstitute the smicha. They were not successful, they could not get all their rabbis to agree. They were living up in Sfas, right, in the 15th century, and the rabbis in Sfas were all on board. And there was a Rav in Yerushalayim, and his name escapes me for the moment. I'll look it up afterwards. I should know this. There was a Rav in Yerushalayim who protested. it sounds like a story that could have happened like a year ago, but I know not a whole lot changes in the course of Jewish history. Okay. Beirav? No. He was up in Sfas with them, the Mari Beirav. Okay. Anyway, Rav Cordova, Rav Moshe Cordova was one of the rabbis up in Sfas who was making smicha together with and Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, the author of the L'cha Dodi, another one of the Sfas rabbanim who also wanted to bring back smicha. Yeah, all of them. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rav Yosef Karo, was a big mekubal. Huge. Okay. One of the Sfarim that he authored, my head's really working today. Huh? No, the... No. No. Oh my gosh, my head's really gone today. Anyway, so one of the Sfarim that he authored was his conversation with a malach. So I would venture to say that he for sure was deep into Kabbalah. All right, let's continue now. We start the next parak. It's really not it is a new parak. I'm not going to deny that. But the topic matter is pretty much the same topic matter that we've been discussing. Look, we're talking now about Siman HaBayi. We're going to focus really on a girl for now. The Siman HaBayi girl. So let's not lose sight of what is really the sign. The sign of physical maturation is Shtei Se'aros. Right? We're going to speak Balash and Nikia. We're going to speak in a clean language. We're going to talk about the Siman Tachton and the Siman Elyon. So the Siman Tachton, I'll say it once just to be clear, that's her pubic hairs. And the Siman Elyon, that's her chest development. Okay? So we're just, and the Mishnah speak in these terms just so that we have a point of reference, and we get to speak in a clean language. When it comes to the Siman Tachton, that's the real Siman. Meaning that really is what tells us that she has now gone through maturity, and she has now moved from being a Katana to being a Gedola. Again, she's a girl, so to be more specific and to be more clear, she becomes a Nara. But a Nara is a Gedola. She's an adult. Again, just she happens to be under the jurisdiction of her father, but she's an adult. So really, it's the Siman Tachton that really is a clear Siman. The Siman Elyon is for us, it's just that. It's a Siman. Meaning it's not really what tells us that she moved from being a Gedola to a Katana, but it's a good indicator. Right? But it's just an indicator. It's not actually what flips the switch from her being a Gedola to a Katana. In fact, what the Mishnah is going to basically say, we're going to see this inside, is that if you see the Siman Elyon, that's an indicator that there is a Siman Tachton. Right? So with her development of her chest, so basically we now know that she has developed the Siman below. In fact, we can even go so far as to say, and you're going to see this in the Mishnah in just a moment, that if there is Siman Elyon, and even if there was no Siman Tachton, we're so confident that the Siman Elyon is an indicator, what we're going to do is we're going to basically say, well, there must have been hairs and they must have fell off. Okay. Now, this is not universally agreed upon, but what I'm telling you is basically how it's going to be. So let's see the Mishnah now, the beginning of the sixth parak of Masechta Nida. So if the siman tachton comes before the siman alyon can come, and that can happen, meaning so she could develop her lower simanim even before she generates her upper simanim, so she's an adult. She wants to do chalitza. She doesn't want. But in other words, she's eligible to do chalitza. She's eligible to do yibum. Okay, in other words, she's an adult. Baha elyon ashala baha tachton. Now, what if her upper development comes before her lower development? So this is a great line of the Mishnah. Listen carefully. Alpha pishii efshar. Now, that's impossible. The Mishnah is about to discuss it, but before the Mishnah discusses it, the Mishnah says, now you should know, that's simply not possible. It won't happen. But if it did, right, it's like the Mishnah is now going into philosophy. Meaning, it can't really happen, but let's just imagine for a moment that it does. I know that's not the style of the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to try to clear up what the Mishnah means by this. Rabbi Meir Omer, lo chalatzis v'lo misyabemis. So Rabbi Meir says, she's not eligible. She cannot do chalitza, she cannot do yibum. Meaning, because the siman elyon, it's just that, it's just a siman, it's an indicator. But it's not the cause of maturation. It's not what transforms her from being a kitana to a gadola. And the Chachamim say, it's impossible. It simply will not happen. Her Siman Elyon will not develop if there wasn't a Siman Tachton. So if there is Siman Elyon, done and done, she's an adult. Either you may not see the Shtesa Aris of the Siman Tachton, they were there, they fell out. I don't know how to explain it right now, but she's an adult. The Siman Tachton developed because there's Siman Elyon. It's impossible for the Siman Elyon to come without the Siman Tachton having already arrived. Now, the Gemara, of course, is struggling with the words of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, even though it's impossible, but let's talk about it. So the Gemara starts off right away. Alpha Pishiev Sheva Halo Ba. Like, what's the Mishnah talking about? If we see that there's a Siman Elyon and there's no Siman Tachton, so like, isn't discussion over? So the Gemara says, "Valaba balara meir, afa pishi yefshal rabbanan." Okay, so you got to know who you're talking to. Meaning, there are two dissenting opinions in the Mishnah. There's Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and it's uncomfortable to talk this way because we generally don't enjoy learning this way. It's not my tradition. But it seems to be a machlokas of mitzias, meaning that Rav Meir is of the opinion that the siman elyon can come before the siman tachton. And the chachamim argue and they say, no, it's simply impossible, meaning it cannot happen. Well, there will not be any type of siman elyon, chest development occurring, if there wasn't already the physical maturation of the siman tachton. That's it. And it seems to be that what our Mishnah is presenting is a machlokas of mitzias. Velisne ba elyon, So the Gemara just wants to know the following. Why doesn't the Mishnah just present the machlokis and we'll do all the detective work? We'll figure it out. Meaning, Rav Meir will say that if the Siman Elyon comes and you don't see the Siman Tachton, she may not be an adult. And the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say, no, she's an adult. And we'll figure it out. Meaning, we'll read the Mishnah, and as Rav Yehuda Nasi wanted us to do, learn the Machlokas, and figure out what's behind the Machlokas. And we'll figure out that according to the Chachamim, it must be that once there's Siman Elyon, there has to have had been Siman Tachton. Why isn't the Mishnah structured like that? So the Gemara says, "Ilotan afa pishiyav shar hava mina rav nashim tachson asibereisha miyodalion asibereisha." Because had the Mishnah not said it, here's what we would have quote unquote figured out. Meaning, this would have been a very plausible explanation of the Mishnah. Could very well be that as a statistical majority, most girls develop first siman tachton, followed then by siman elyon, and as a minority, as a small probability, some girls develop a siman elyon and then a siman tachton. And Rav Meir l'tami d'chai shlemiyuta, now, if that would have been the explanation, everything would have made perfect sense. Rav Meir is choshish lemiyuta. He's always worried about the minority. And so therefore, according to Rav Meir, I'll say, look, it's possible that you had the siman elyon developed first, and then the siman tachton. I know it's unlikely. I know it's not a probability. It's not a majority. Okay, but it is a possibility, and that's Rav Meir's general position of choshish lemiyuta. And the Chachamim are not worried about miut, meaning they based on halacha based on rov. And most women develop siman tachton before siman elyon. And good. And that all would have been our explanation had we not known anything. But had we done an actual examination and we would have seen that the siman elyon actually came before the siman tachton, what are we going to say? Look, she's not an adult yet. So kamash malan diyafshar vaday aser umenasehu denasar. And finally, so what the mission now is telling us is that this is not majority. This is not an issue of probability. This is not statistics. What the mission is telling us is unequivocally, according to the Chachamim, it's simply impossible. Meaning part of the physical development of a girl is that first siman tachton, then siman elyon. So once siman elyon is observable, you know for a fact that siman tachton has already came. There was an examination done and they didn't find any hairs. The hairs came and they must have fallen out. That's the only plausible explanation. Again, all according to the Chachamim. Good. All right, so what we are left with now right now is an explanation of our Mishnah. A good explanation of our Mishnah, and it seems to be that we have a machlokas over here between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. It's a machlokas in Metzias. And the Metzias is, according to Rav Meir, it's possible that Siman Elyon develops before Siman Tachton, so you have to take that into account. And according to the Chachamim, it's simply impossible. It does not happen. Bishlam al Rav Meir Haina Dichsiv. Now, support for Rav Meir. We turn to Psukim in Yecheskel. Now, do we know our Psukim in Yecheskel? This one we do. This one made into our Haggadah. So the first Pasuk we quote in Yecheskel, Hanedichsiv Shadayim Nachonu V'Serech Simeach, describing the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. So it says that you develop Shadayim, that's the chest area. In other words, it's a mashal, meaning it's describing the Jewish people, comparing the Jewish people to a woman. So shadayim nachonu usa'arech simeach, and then you developed hair. So look at that pasuk in Yecheskel. First, it talks about the siman elyon, and then it talks about the development of the siman tachton. Okay, and that's a great support for a mayor. El rabban and ipcha mibayle. Now, by the way, you could have said it's funny. Every time I read the pasuk at the Haggadah, so I thought it's when it says it's talking about the hair, it's talking about, you know, the hair on the head. But I guess that's a strange pshat because usually hair on the head comes before the development of the chest. So I guess then the Gemara is just left to with no alternative but that the hair described over here is talking about the private area. So anyway, so ibcha mi bayle hachi kamer kevish shadaim nachonu biyadush shirech sameach. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're the Chachamim, you'll translate the pasuk like this. Once you see the development of the shadayim, you know then that shirech sameach, that the hair in the private area already sprouted. Okay. Bishlam Rabbanan Ein Dichsiv, another pasuk in Yecheskel. Okay, this is not said at the Haggadah, so fair. No, it's not fair. We should know off Tanakh, but it's fair that if we never heard this pasuk. Ba'asos mimitzrayim dadech laman shedei ne'urech. So the pasuk describes again our condition of being in Egypt. So Mitzrayim, they played with our dadayim, laman shedei ne'urech, so that they were waiting for us to develop into full-fledged women. And as Rashi describes over here, they were interested in niyuf, they were interested in committing adultery, so they were waiting for us to develop. So, but again, though, look at the developmental stages of this pasuk. First, it describes the development of the dadayim, and then it describes the development of the private area. Okay, so again, the pasukim go well for a mayor. If you're the Chachamim, how are you going to understand the pasuk? El rabbanan imchami ba'alei achi kamar. Kem shabau dadaych biyadu shabau na'arech. So again, so we'll say the same thing. once the Dadaim developed, you know then that the Sa'arech already have developed. Ibai Seimo, the Gemara says, my Shedei Kula Bedadaksiv. Could be that the word Shedei is not referencing the private area below, but it's talking still about the Shadayim. V'achi Kamar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. And the conversation could be like this. Ifrachu Dadach, Lo Hadartabach, Ishtadu Dadach, Nami Lo Hadartabach. Meaning, you had plenty of opportunities to do tshuva while you were in Mitzrayim, even while they were just playing with you at an earlier stage, you still didn't do tshuva, and even in a later stage, you didn't do tshuva as well. And this is the muster that the Navi was giving to the Jewish people. Okay, now, good. That is again just more about the machlokes of Rameir and the Chachamim. Psukim do indicate that Rameir is right, but the Gemara interprets these psukim in defense of the Chachamim. Now. So
the hair on the head does make sense.
Yes, right.
I think it's one about legally would make a big difference, let's say, if the girl, according to the is not
the true and common. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. But really, the more prevalent halachas that this is going to affect is halachas of chalitza and yibum, because as a minor she can't do chalitza, she can only do it as an adult. So we need to know exactly when she crosses that threshold of being a minor to an adult. Okay, now here's what everybody agrees to. There's the disagreement between Rameir and the Chachamim, but what is absolutely tenet and absolute doctrine is that everything really depends on Siman Tachton. Meaning, is it possible for there to be Siman Tachton without there being Siman Elyon? Good, so that's up for discussion and debate. But here's what is absolutely agreed upon. That she becomes an adult with the Siman Tachton. Not the Siman Elyon. Siman Elyon is just an indicator. But it's not what actually transforms her from being a child to an adult. The government wants to know, how do we know that? So, the Kuli Alma Mia Atachton Samchina Minalan. The Gemara wants to know, where does that come from? So the Gemara says, Amar Yudah, Amar Rav, Echein Tan Debe Rav Yishmol Amar, Kar Isha Isha Kiyas, Mikol Chatos Adam, Hishva HaKos of Isha Leish. The Torah compares a man to a woman, L'chol Onshin Shabbat Torah, meaning that it's, for as far as punishments are concerned, men and women are equal in the Torah. Now, we're going to continue on this line of equality. Ma'ish b'simen echad, af isha b'simen echad. Now, in terms of a man will become a man with one simen, and that, of course, is the development of hair in his private area. So then, if that's true for a man, af isha b'simen echad. So we'll say the same thing is true regarding a woman. Ve'ema ohai ohai. The Gemara makes a suggestion, okay, but maybe it's either or. Maybe for a woman, it's either the simen tachton, her private area, or the Siman Elyon, which is also a private area, but that's her chest. Maybe it's one or the other. So the Gemara says Ki'ish. No. Because of this equality of man and woman in this regard. Ma'ish Tachton v'lo Elyon, af Isha Tachton v'lo Elyon. Just like by the man, it's only the Tachton. So too by the woman, it's only going to be the Tachton. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, which will punctuate the same way. Amr Avalaz Brabi Tzadakacha Yim Mefarshim Yavna. V'amru. Kaven Shabbat Tachton Shuv Ein Meshgich and Al Elyon. Once the lower simon has come in, so that's it. There's nothing more than to look at. At that point in time, now she's an adult. Tanya Rishim and Gamla Omer Benos Krachim Tachton Mamar Lavo. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Benos Krachim, the girls living in the city. Tachton Mamar Lavo. Bimnesha Regilos Bemer Chatzos. They take baths more often. City people tend to bathe more frequently. So therefore, their tachton comes in earlier. Okay, you want an explanation of that? It's not coming for me. I don't have an explanation. Okay. Benos Kfarim, El Yom Emar Lava, Mimnesha Tochnos, Berechayim. The Benos Kfarim, who are out in the farm, and they're working out in the farm, and they're grinding, and they're working their arms, so therefore, their upper body develops before the lower body. Rabbi Shimon Malazar Omer Benos Ashirim Sagimimar Lavo Shanishov Be'af Karisa Son. The Benos Ashirim, so their upper body develop right side first because they apply, they're wealthy, and they wear this kind of handkerchief. It's a shawl, it's put on the right side, and so therefore the right side develops first. But no saniyim tzatz momar lavom meisheshovas kade mayim aleihem. And as far as the poor women, so they're out there in the field and they're in the farm and they're drawing water from the well and they're working, and so therefore their left side develops first because they have to put the jugs of water on their shoulder, and that develops their left before the right side. Additional explanation is that they place their brothers on their shoulders. They have to carry around, they have to lug around their brothers, and so therefore their left develops before their right. Tanu Rabbanan. Tzad Smol Kodem Letzad Yamin. Rabbi Chanina ben Acha, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Me'olam Lo Kodem Tzad Smol Letzad Yamin. Chutz Me'acha Shaisa B'shkunasi Shekodem Tzad Smol Letzad Yamin V'chazor Le'esano. Now, these Tanayim are only discussing these issues because they must have some sort of halachic ramifications, and I do not know. The Gemara is not particularly clear about what halachic ramifications it has in terms of which side develops first, whether the right or the left side develops first. Okay? But there's got to be more to the Gemara than what I'm presenting to you.
I think it could be that since it's predisposed that one side is before the other, it is the other side you're presuming that already developed, meaning that the second side is not really sure.
Right. In other words, when we're looking at the Siman Elyon, you have to know which side to look at in order to see which one is going to be the actual telltale sign. Okay? Tana Rabbanan, I appreciated that. Tana Rabbanan, Kol HaNivdakos, Nivdakos HaPinashim. Okay? I frequently ask questions. It's certainly, as we're now in the, we've been discussing this for some time now. So who's doing the Bedikos? So needless to say, it's extraordinarily inappropriate for a man to do a Bedika, although, right, I dare say it'd be no different than a doctor doing an examination, meaning obviously he's looking at a private area of a woman, but he's a doctor, meaning, and so therefore you could look at it as a clinical examination. So here also, it's somewhat inappropriate, somewhat, you know, improper, but if there are halachic ramifications, so it could be viewed as just simply as a clinical examination. So it wouldn't be totally out of hand to suggest that a man would do the bedika, but the Gemara is going to tell us that no, that in these contexts, it is going to be a woman doing a bedika. Now, here's the tricky part, which is going to take us really to the end of today's discussion. A woman's doing a bedika, but then she has to report what she saw. Now, in the world of halacha, we know that women don't have ne'manus, they don't have credibility. So, you're in a catch-22. She's doing a bedika because it's more appropriate for her to do a bedika, and then she's reporting, but
Rebbetzins
she...
Rebbetzins don't count?
Huh?
Rebbetzins don't count.
Well, I mean, I'm saying that's... No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say in that...
It says here,
Eid Echad, let's put it this way. Eid Echad Neman Bisurin, meaning, yeah, you can have a woman... There are certain things which a woman have credibility for. Right, when it comes to Issa V'Heter, so they have all the credibility in the world. It just happens to be that now we're talking about the testimony of this girl to say that she's an adult, so that Chalitza can be performed on her, or so that Yibum can be performed on her. So this is Arayas. This is bona fide Erva. Arayas. So we know that Arayas can only be conferred upon and testified upon by two male adults. Okay, so it is an issue. So we're going to have to explore that issue. So, but in the meantime, though, let's just get through this brisa. Kol nivdakos nivdakos apinashim v'chein ayir Rabbi Eliezer mosel ishto. Rabbi Eliezer, whenever came for a girl to be inspected and investigated, so Rabbi Eliezer would send her to his wife. Rabbi Yishmael mosel imo. Rabbi Yishmael would send the girl to his mother. Rabbi Yudah omer lefneya perek lacha perek nashim bodkenosa. Now, before 11 and after 12, you can have a woman do a bedika. Tocha perek, but from 11 to 12, ayin nashim bodkenosan. Because what's it going to do? Meaning all it's going to do is it's going to clarify a suffix, but you can't clarify a suffix based on the testimony of a woman. So therefore, from 11 to 12, you can't do it. No bedika is done. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, and Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, no, from 11 to 12, you could do a bedika. And now have a woman doing the bedika. Now a woman could be machmir, but a woman can't be mekel. Ketzad. So let's explain what that means. Gedolahi shalotamain. Kitanahi shalotachlots. Meaning, if what she's walking out of the examination room is saying is, look, she's an adult. So then she can no longer do miyun. That's a chumrah. That will accept. Or another example, she's not yet an adult. She hasn't reached her simanim yet. She can't do chalitza. Okay, that will accept from her. Because which one, miyun or chalitza? Because by miyun we're saying to the girl, you're stuck. Meaning this. Right, I know the marriage was arranged for you by either your mother or your brother. I know the marriage was only a derabbanan. I know you have now the option of opting out from this marriage, but now examination was done. You're now an adult. You're stuck. That's a chumrah. Chalitza, just the other way around. Meaning if the woman is now saying, the examining woman is saying to her, I did not see the simanim. You can't do chalitza. Basically what you're saying is you're stuck. You can't. You're not eligible because you can't do chalitza. Aval ein ne'emanos lomar ketanehi shetamayinu gedoli shetachlos. But what the examination cannot yield is a chumr, is a kula. Meaning, if what comes out is out of the examination room, the woman says, "Oh, it's okay. She's a minor. It's fine."
Where do they go next? If that happens, where do they go next?
Right. So I was wondering the same thing. And my guess would be that once she develops her upper body, so at that point in time now, in other words, you could just simply... At that point in time, they can ascertain that she's now a...
What happens with her doing me with that? So if she's...
In other words, once she turns 12... She can't do meal,
right.
Period.
How could she do meal now? If you cannot verify that she hasn't reached it, because you don't...
Well, she'll never get to do meal.
She'll never, right. In other words, after 12, she won't be able to do meal, period. Period. And the only thing the examination would do, if anything, is... Well, okay. There's much of this brisa which I've left unexplained. The Gemara tomorrow, we're going to start with the words Amar. The Gemara tomorrow will explain all aspects of this brisa, and we'll understand better. In other words... I left a gaping hole in this brisa in that, what is the story between 11 and 12? Meaning, is she an adult? Is she a minor? Is she eligible to become an adult between 11 and 12? I left that explanation out of the brisa. That's an important discussion. We'll have that tomorrow. We'll finish up. Stay tuned. We'll have some opportunity to catch up over the next couple of days. Today's daf is daf memtes. We haven't arrived at today's daf yet. Okay, we will tomorrow. What the Mishnayos are going to do from this point forward is, and we've seen this before, it's going to segue into a lot of tangential discussions. The remaining, not all. Okay, a lot of the next Mishnayos are going to be tangents. You'll see.